Listener-supported KTOO. Welcome to Juno Afternoon, broadcasting live from the homelands of the Occoquan. It's Friday, March 28th, 2025. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Gwyneth Chi, Shawa, Tuksuk Nusum, Salamat. Thank you for joining the conversation. You can also join us via our live stream over on YouTube at ktoo.org/JPMLive or via KTOO's Facebook page. Today, Clinkett and Haida is hosting the Education Benefit Concert tonight with music from Mark Brown and the Blues Crew. Mark is here to share some music and conversation. Their traditional games are coming next week right here in Juneau. We talk with organizer Kyle Worrell and some student athletes about this gathering and the games that test the skill and agility in 12 different events. And CBJ Parks and Recreation has a lots in store for the coming weeks. We talk Adopt-A-Flower, Movies in the Park, and the 6th Annual Walk Southeast. Those conversations coming up this hour on Juno Afternoon. Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Alaska Airlines Club 49. Membership information available at club49hub.com.
You're listening to KTOO's Tlingit Word of the Week. This week's word comes from Keishi Bessie Cooley. And the word this week is tsa.
Tsa.
That means seal. And here is a sentence. The seal burped loudly. Let's hear it again.
Tsa.
Seal. Gwyneth Chi to Hune Lance Twitchell, Gold Belt Heritage Foundation, and the University of Alaska Southeast for this audio.
Keishi Bessie Cooley is Kokhetan and a child of a Yenyedi man. She is from Daisleen, Teslin, and grew up spending time in Teslin and around Teslin Lake. She earned a master's degree in Indigenous Languages and Linguistics from Simon Fraser University and interviewed many speakers for the Hashagun language series. She is currently translating projects for the Children of the Takhu Society.
And tune in next week for another Tlingit Word of the Week from KTOO.
Travel down this road, so many miles from my home. Left my little girl all alone. Ain't got no money to get back home. I really need you, baby. All I ever wanted was you. Darling, ain't no other woman quite like you. Ooh. Ooh. Yes, I'm going down this road, broken whiskey bottle. Broken home, left my little girl all alone. Can't got no money to call her on the phone. I really need you, baby. All I ever wanted was you. I really love you, darling. Ain't no other woman quite like you. Thank you. I'm going down this road. So many miles all alone. Left my little girl way back home. Broken hearts, broken home. I really need you, baby. All I ever wanted was you. I really love you, darling. Ain't no other woman quite like you.
That is awesome. That is Mark Brown. You are listening to Community Supported Juno Afternoon on KTOO at 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Auk Bay, and online at ktoo.org. I'm Boston Christopher. You can also join us virtually here in the studio via a live stream on YouTube's Facebook or our YouTube or Facebook pages for KTOO. And tonight at 9 p.m., Tlingit and Haida is sponsoring an evening of live music and community support. It's all a fundraiser to help toward the development of the Tlingit and Haida Education Campus, which will support education and cultural growth for future generations. And the music features Mark Brown and the Blues Crew. We have Mark with us in studio today to share some tunes, like he just did, and talk a little music and education. Gunath Cheese, Sha Igudi, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to have you here. Mark, how are you today?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Of course. And I'm also joined by Kelly Icardi, who is the new KXLL Community Engagement Producer, who's now been here a little over a week, almost 2 weeks, I guess.
Yeah. It's going to be 2 weeks next week.
That's amazing. It's pretty. Time goes pretty fast.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. It's nice to have you in here today. So, Mark, let's talk a little bit about you and tell us a little bit about where you're from and how you got started in this crazy music business.
Well, I started playing the guitar at the age of 4. My grandpa and a bunch of my uncles all played different instruments. And that's pretty much all I ever wanted to do. When I was 17, I went to Boston and studied at Berkeley.
Mm.
And I did like 2 years worth of schooling in about 4 months. And
oh, wow.
So like 12 hours a day.
Oh, my gosh.
That's yeah, amazing.
It was fun.
So how did you decide to go to Berkeley?
One of my teachers suggested it. They were kind of teaching me guitar, but I surpassed them, and they wanted me to learn from, you know, some real talented musician. So they suggested I go out there, and I researched it and saved up money and went out there.
And you were living in Alaska at the time?
Living in a small village in Huslia.
Huslia, okay.
And like a week before I went out there, I got a moose, and I still had the bloody knife, and it was in my suitcase, and I totally forgot about it. And when I got to the dorm, I had a roommate from California and another one from the East Coast, and I took out this huge knife, and it was all bloody, and they got all freaked out. So,
oh, my goodness.
That was jarring.
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing.
They were actually scared to sleep for a couple of days. And I had to tell them, you know, this is moose blood. This isn't human blood. But, yeah, they've never seen anything like it.
Oh, that's pretty great, though. Oh, I love that. That's really good.
It's a good story.
And so you said, like, when you went to Berkeley, you had, like, 2 years of training in about 4 months. How did that work? Was it a special program? Or
it was a special program.
I see.
And I started off at the beginning, like, a level one. And when I left there, I graduated from level three.
Okay.
So, it's a great school, really.
And then you came back to Alaska right away?
Yeah.
Okay.
I came straight back and immediately started playing in clubs. Like once older musicians heard me.
Yeah.
They started hiring me. And I played backup guitar for Mickey Woods. He was a legend in the interior of Alaska. And another guy, Herbie Vent, I played bass for him. And played guitar in my grandpa's band.
Oh, nice.
And I started my own band, too. We were underage, but we were playing in bars. We had to get court documents.
Oh, no.
So my mom had to sign us over to a couple. Like, I was 18, and my brother was, like, 20. And the bass player became my guardian, and the other guitar player became my brother's guardian.
Oh, my God, that's so funny. Kelly, do you want to ask about the band and maybe whatever else you might think of?
Yeah. Yeah. I've got lots of questions.
All right,
don't
awesome.
Worry. Yeah, I'm curious what the band's sound is like right now or how it's changed with previous members or what people can expect to see tonight. Actually, that's my question.
Okay. we have this guy, Joe Eunice, on bass. He's like cool. The best bass player in Alaska. He's a jazz musician. Plays like
cool.
Five nights a week in Anchorage.
Wow.
He's crazy good, and he's here with us, and my drummer Robert Smith is also here. He's from Fairbanks. I picked up Robert when he was like 20, like 30 years ago.
Wow.
But we didn't play for like 15 or 20 years, and we just started playing together the last couple of years.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
What would you say has been your favorite performance that you've ever done, or maybe top two if you can't pick?
I played at the House of Blues in Vegas a long time
cool.
ago, and Al Green brought in a whole bunch of like famous musicians. I don't know if they knew who I was or what, but he was doing a big show in the big stage, like the auditorium, and I was on the smaller stage. And when his show got over, he brought everybody to my show. And it was
cool.
It was packed there, so that opened a lot of doors for me.
Wow,
and
that's really cool.
Pretty much every show I've ever done in the Southeast is like one of my favorites.
Oh, nice!
I like
cool.
coming down here. I go to the Prince of Wales Island a lot, and I like playing there. Heidelberg, Craig, it's like going home every time I go there. It's so weird. Like everybody's really nice to me and. Even some of the elders, they're like, hey, Mark Brown, welcome home. It's pretty cool.
That's so
awesome.
Great.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
But we've been everywhere. We played in Nome a few times, Barrow a bunch of times, Bethel, Kodiak, even some places in Canada, pretty much everywhere in Alaska. And next month I'm doing a show out in New Jersey.
Oh, wow.
April 24th.
Okay.
So, very cool.
Yeah, going out there for like 9 days. They're working on some other gigs for me to play while I'm there, but that's the only one we have booked so far.
Awesome.
So, very cool.
Yep.
Yeah.
Are you sticking around for Folk Fest next week, or are you heading
out? I wish I was. I'm actually flying out early in the morning. I have a show in Wasilla tomorrow.
Oh.
And then I have another show in Tanacross on Sunday.
Oh, man. Well, we'll miss you, but at least you're going to be here tonight.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and that's why we're here is for tonight. I do want to ask before we get to some more music, what was that song you played just now?
It's actually called Broken Home, and it doesn't do it any justice with just me and a guitar. It's like I should have picked a different song, but the bass player and the drummer kind of make the whole song.
I would disagree. That was a beautiful song, the way
awesome.
You did it.
Yeah, it's just something I wrote. And we don't play it that often, but it's a pretty cool song.
Nice. That's excellent. And I do want to mention that the reason you're here in town is you are playing tonight at 9 o'clock, and it's all in support of the Tlingit and Haida Education Campus. It's a fundraiser tonight. It's going to be a campus to support education and cultural growth for future generations. And I just want to show a little video that I got from our friend Dixie over at Tlingit and Haida, which shows some of the renderings of the future Tlingit and Haida Education Campus. You'll be able to see those on the YouTube, or you can search it on the Tlingit and Haida YouTube as well. And you are going to be playing tonight. There's going to be a no-host bar. There's door prizes. There's a 50-50 raffle. Where is the concert going to be happening?
It's right over here at the EP Hall.
The Elizabeth Paratrovich Hall. Excellent. Yeah. At 9 o'clock tonight. And I guess people can just get tickets at the door?
Yeah.
That's the best way to do it.
$30 at the door.
$30 at the door to get some tickets for it. Okay. And you're going to be playing along with the Blues Crew?
Yep.
With some awesome guests, it sounds like you talked about there, which is pretty cool. And it's all happening tonight at 9 o'clock. I'm hoping that Mark will play us another song here. Let me get us resituated in terms of our sound here, because I want to make sure that microphone, do you see that? The room mic there, I want to make sure that it sort of fell down a little bit. We just need to push it up a little bit. It's really top heavy. But I'm also going to go back over here and put you back up onto our red carpet stage microphone. There we go. That's perfect.
Is that good?
Yeah, that's perfect.
Okay.
All right. So this is Mark Brown. He might play us a song or two. Let's see what happens. It's a light little concert here on the red carpet stage.
Okay. This one's called Sweet Love Song. It's another song that I wrote. You're like a sweet love song flowing along, a leaf blowing in the wind, a sweet chickadee singing in the tree, singing about love again. You're like a sweet butterfly floating in the sky, an eagle spreading its wings. My, oh my, we love to see you fly. Listen as a nightingale sings. I was down when I met you, now I just can't forget you. Oh girl, you're always on my mind. I was lost when you found me, you put your arms around me. Hold me close one more time. You're like a sweet love song that can't go wrong, tugging at my heart. A sweet melody in perfect harmony, these miles can't keep us apart. You're like a sweet sunset that I can't forget, you're in my soul. You're like a sweet rainbow I can't let go, you're better than a pot of gold. I was down when I met you, now I just can't forget you. Oh girl, you're always on my mind. I was lost when you found me, you put your arms around me. Hold me close one more time. Hold me close, girl, one more time. Hold me close, girl, one more time. You're like a sweet love song.
I could listen to that all day long.
Thank
you. That's really beautiful. Maybe we do. You want to do one more?
Sure.
I love it. Let's do it. It's a live concert right here on Juno Afternoon, the red carpet stage. It's Mark Brown.
This is a old Big J. McNeely song.
There is something on your mind. By the way you look at me, there is something on your mind. By the way you look at me, if what you're thinking brings you happiness, Oh, will it bring me misery? No, no, don't try to tell me I might not understand. No, no, don't try to tell me, baby, I might not understand. You say you want me to try and forget you. Oh, I'll do the best that I can. If you ever think about me, if I ever cross your mind, if you ever think about me, baby, if I ever cross your mind, well, you know that I am yours. Oh, girl, I know you are mine. There is something on your mind. There is something on your mind. There is something on your mind.
Oh, yeah. Let's give applause for that. Thank you. So thank you, Mark Brown. I really appreciate you coming in today, Gwyneth Cheesh. Kelly and I both appreciate you. The concert is tonight. I do want to mention that it is open to those 21 years and older, because there is a no-host bar, but there's also door prizes and a 50-50 raffle. And, of course, you can get tickets at the door. It's over at the Elizabeth Perachevich Hall tonight at, excuse me, tonight at 9 p.m. So thank you so much, Mark, for coming in and sharing some tunes with us.
Awesome.
We really appreciate it. Gwyneth Cheesh, for being here.
I enjoyed it. Thank you very
much. Thank you so much. That was great.
Yeah, that was awesome. Appreciate you. Okay, up next, we have this week's edition of Our Living Lands from Native Voice One. This is Juno Afternoon on KTOO.
This is Our Living Lands, and I'm Antonia Gonzalez. A new environmental documentary premiered in select theaters on March 23rd. KOSU reporter Sarah Lisi spoke to Choctaw citizen and filmmaker Colleen Thurston about her new film, Drowned Land, and the continued fight to safeguard Oklahoma's Kayamishi River.
The film, Drowned Land, is personal for Colleen Thurston. In it, she explores her family's history, the homelands of the Choctaw people, and the land they now occupy in southeast Oklahoma. So our interview begins there, understanding how she gave herself permission to tell a story so close to home.
I really was interested in exploring the lakes in Oklahoma, and I thought it was interesting that my grandfather had such a hand in building and developing the lakes in Oklahoma. And then once I came down to the Sardis Lake area, and the more I talked to people, the more they said, okay, but the real story is the Kayamishi River and what's going on with the Kayamishi River. I listened to them and I let the story and the community lead me. I kind of gave up control in a lot of ways. Like I said, I feel like I'm kind of a conduit for the river and for the community.
Native American storytellers often talk about being vessels for indigenous stories and environmental issues. Thurston called that work a responsibility.
We talk about being stewards of the land, but we're very much stewards of stories too. You can tell your own personal story, but once it becomes a community story, once it's a collective story, or even if it's a story of the land, then we are just conduits, or we are entrusted with the responsibility of carrying on carrying on those stories, and especially for entities that don't necessarily speak our language, right? Like rivers or like trees or mountains or whatever it is. Additionally, we really want to prop up the idea of the Rights of Nature movement, to prop up this movement of recognizing that rivers, that trees, that mountains, whatever it may be, they are sentient and they can be recognized as such, and their rights can be recognized and their rights can be protected. If a tribe, whether it's Choctaw, Chickasaw, or any tribe, declared law that legally a river was protected, that would absolutely change that interaction between the state government, the state of Oklahoma, and a tribal nation.
The film asks its audience to consider where their water supply comes from, while fostering a sense of appreciation for the land.
I think growing up in Oklahoma, this was always a place where if you wanted to be anyone, if you wanted to do anything, then you should leave. That was kind of the message that I got. And I moved back full-time here when I was 30, and that became a message that I wanted to change. Like, you don't have to leave here. Why did we internalize that this place is not worth it? I hope that this film can maybe change that perspective of Oklahoma, and just bringing the film to communities that maybe have been affected in similar ways, or maybe have also been kind of told, like, your place isn't worth it. You're not worth it. You should leave. So we want to do a reservation tour, and hopefully, you know, people can see themselves in this film. We've submitted to several festivals that we're excited about. And we'll do probably a little more than a year of a festival run. And then the film will be on public television. It'll be on PBS somewhere towards the end of 2025 or 2026. We also want to do educational screenings and, like I said, community screenings for anyone that feels like this would benefit their community.
Drowned Land premiered on March 23rd in Santa Fe, Washington, D.C., and Los Angeles. For more information, visit drownedland.com. I'm Antonia Gonzalez for Our Living Lands, a collaboration of Kwanic Broadcast Corporation, Native Public Media, and the Mountain West News Bureau.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
Support from Hanson Gress, seeking curious people who like technology, network engineering, and customer support. Opportunities for those who thrive on problem solving. Details at hansongress.com/careers.
This is Juno Afternoon from your listener-supported public media station, KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. You can also join us virtually live in the studio via our live streams on KTOO's YouTube and Facebook pages. You can also show us a little chat message if you want and say hi, which is kind of cool. Next weekend, April 4th through the 6th, at Juno Douglas High School, Yada'a Kathle, it's the annual traditional games. 12 different games that test a range of skills, and it's based on the hunting and survival skills of the indigenous peoples of Alaska and across the North, going back hundreds of years. Students and adults from all ages travel to Juno to participate. And the program is run by Kyle Wuerl, who joins me now in the studio. Gunath Chi, Shwasa Iati Ka, how are you? Nice. Okay. And I also have two student athletes. I have Leif Richards. Gonna the cheese, Leif.
Hello.
Hello. I also have Mila Neely. Hi. Hi. Wasiati. How are you?
I'm pretty good.
Awesome. Get a little bit closer to that microphone for me and you'll be good. All right. So, and you can find out all this information and the details of everything we're talking about here at traditionalgames.sealaskaheritage.org. That's the website. It has all the details, dates, times. We'll go over some of that. But Kyle, let's start with you. How long have we been doing this version of the traditional games in Juneau?
This is our eighth annual event. yeah, and we're pretty excited about it. Actually started through the University of Alaska Southeast with the Wushtiin Club. It grew out of that, and that one goes back even more than 8 years. But our intention with this event was to bring an event to Southeast Alaska, because traveling up to state in Anchorage can be expensive, and for a lot of our teams, we're brand new to the sport. We're just reintroducing it to the region, so going up to state was kind of intimidating, so we created our own regional event, and it's since grown every year.
So where are people coming from for these traditional games here in Juneau?
So we have 12 communities across Southeast, from Skagway to Metlakatla. We have several northern teams as far north as Utqiagvik, as far west as Bristol Bay. And then we have one international team from Yukon, Canada. A few lower 48 teams. Seattle, Washington is sending a team as far south as Santa Fe with Institute of American Indian Art, as far east as Dartmouth. And then we also have one other college team from down south, that is Fort Lewis College. So this event is also unique in that we've created this adult college division as well, and we recruit teams from across the nation to participate alongside our middle and high school divisions.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. So it's middle, high school, and then now this adult division, which you're inviting people to come and be part of that, which is kind of cool. That's really interesting. Do people have to have a team to be involved, or can an individual register for the traditional games?
An individual can register. For the most part, open registration. You can just go onto the website and sign up, and you don't need a team. For middle and high school, we do ask that coaches sign up athletes. But if you're the only kid at your school that is doing NYO, we don't want to not say you can't participate. So you can just assign maybe your parent or anybody to be your coach and sign up as an individual at the middle or high school level as well.
And you mentioned NYO. Can you tell us what that is?
Yeah, NYO stands for Native Youth Olympics, and that refers to the K through 12 program.
Mm-hmm.
Our event, Traditional Games, as we mentioned, we're inviting adults and college students, so we don't use NYO strictly for the event since it's more broadly encompassing a greater age group.
And the NYO that happens in Alaska is usually later in the spring, right? And
yep.
That's up in Anchorage, I think?
So this event is also the qualifier for our
that's
Juneau
what I
athletes.
Wondered. Yeah, I was wondering. Yeah, okay.
So they will be taking part, and normally we'll pick our team on results from next weekend's events. And then in 3 weeks, it's the third week of April, so actually 2 weeks, they'll be traveling up to Anchorage for the state NYO games. And we plan to bring about 10 athletes.
Oh, that's so awesome. We're going to talk to some of these athletes right now to get this going. We are talking about the traditional games that are happening in Juneau. They're April 4th through the 6th, so that's next weekend, not this weekend, at Yada'akathle Juneau Douglas High School. And so let's talk to Leif and Mila. Let's start with you, Mila. So you have participated in the games before?
Yeah, I've been going to traditional games since I was in sixth grade, and I actually started when I lived in Washington for 2 years.
Okay.
My dad really wanted me to stay connected to like everything in Juneau, and he really wanted me to do Native Youth Olympics, so he signed up as a coach, and it was me and one other person, and we were the first team in Washington, and we came down for traditional games.
Yeah, no, it's all good. Traditional games. And how old are you now?
I'm 14 now.
So you're in high school now?
I'm in ninth grade, yeah.
Okay, so you've been doing it since sixth grade, so like 3 years or so?
I've been doing it since fifth grade.
Oh, fifth grade, so like 4 years. Okay, yeah. That's awesome. And so tell me, I know there's 12 different events, and I don't know if we have time to go over all of them, but tell me which ones you participate in.
I do most of them. Unfortunately, traditional games because it's getting so big, which is awesome. We're only allowed to pick 7 games.
even though you want to do them all?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really like the 3 kicking events, but specifically 2-foot high kick is my favorite.
Okay, so let's describe for people who don't know, what are these kick games that you participate in? Describe what the process is.
So the 1-foot high kick is where you measure up to the ball, and then you jump off 2 feet, kick with 1 foot, and then you land on the foot that you kick with.
Okay.
And then the 2-foot high kick is the same, except you jump off 2 feet, kick with 2 feet, and land on 2 feet.
And is the idea that, and that maybe people have seen this one, right? Because this is one that's pretty popular that people see videos of and stuff like that. This is where does the ball get higher and higher as you compete?
Yes.
Okay. So they raise it, and then then one of those is a 1 kick where you only have to get 1 foot off the ground. But then the 2 kick is you have to actually lift both of your feet off the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's amazing. How hard is that?
It takes a lot of practice for sure.
Yeah. When you practice, do you use mats in case you fall?
No.
No. Learn by doing, I guess. I love that. Kyle's a tough coach, right? So when you're doing this, and are you trying to – I know that this is also – and Kyle, maybe you can speak to this too, but these games are done in the spirit of – yes, there's a competition aspect, but it's also a community gathering. And so you're pushing each other to do your best, right? So you're trying to maybe best your score, not necessarily the score of somebody else, even though you are still trying to win the event. But so what is your personal record in terms of these events that you do? On the foot kicks.
Yeah, it's definitely more of a community building thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think my 1 foot record is 73 inches. My 2 foot record is 64 inches. And my Alaskan record is, I believe, either 60 or 62 inches.
Wow, that's pretty tall. That's like 7. That's almost as tall as me. I'm like 6'4". That's pretty amazing. All right, and give me one other event that you – that what's your other favorite event in those 7 that you get to do?
I really like Dene stick pull.
Okay, tell me about that. What is that?
That's where you have a stick and it's thick in the middle and then it gets like smaller at the ends. And you grease it and there's a black line in the middle and you try to get the stick out of the other person's hand. And it represents when you're pulling like a slippery salmon out of water, being able to like grip it, but not necessarily like grip, like being able to hold onto it.
I'm glad you said that because all of these games are part of tradition, right? They're called traditional games, but they come out of the hunting skills and all of that. So that one for the Dene stick pull is for helping to catch salmon. Mm-hmm. That's what you said. Okay. And what are the what's the kick for? What is that in terms of traditional? What is that about?
So Alaskan high kick was used to stay fit in the winter because you could do it without a lot of space. But it was good training for during the winter for the summer.
Okay.
And then the 1 foot and 2 foot high kicks were used kind of like sign language. Because when you're out in the tundra, if you like catch a seal or something and you need people to like come help you, bring it in, they would signal like really long distances, either the 1 foot or the 2 foot. And it was different for different communities on what it meant. I know in some communities, the 2 foot high kick would represent a whale because the 2 feet look like a whale tail.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah, so it was really cool.
I love that there's not only the athletic part of it, but then also the cultural learning that you get from doing these games. So, and you seem to be pretty knowledgeable, which is great. Well, we say break a leg in the theater from where I did. We don't want to say that in the game. So I guess you all probably say, what do you say when you want to wish somebody well in the games?
No.
You got it?
Yeah.
you got this? Yeah. Okay, that's good. We got to get that. All right, Leaf, let's talk to you a little bit. How many of the games, are you also doing 7 of them?
Yes, I'm okay. Also doing 7 of the games.
Okay, so your job here is to tell me about 3 others that Mila didn't tell us about that you're participating in.
Okay, so should we start with my favorite?
Yeah, your favorite, okay. Yeah.
So probably my favorite event that I'm going to do is called the one arm reach, or is it one hand reach?
Both, either.
Mm.
Okay.
And that's where you start on the floor with your So you start with your hands on the floor.
You want to do it, right? It's like you have to do it to know what it is, yeah.
Yeah, it's really hard to explain, but you're basically balancing on one hand with nothing else touching the floor. And with your other hand, you have to reach as high as possible.
Oh, okay.
Without anything touching the ground except for your two hands. So you have your base hand, then your reaching hand will reach up off the floor, touch the ball, and come back down, and nothing else can touch the floor.
Oh, wow. Okay. And how do you incrementally... How does that get incrementally harder as you compete? Is it to be able to touch the ball at a higher level?
Mm-hmm. The ball raises 4 inches every round.
Holy moly. That must be hard.
Yeah, it's definitely has a big learning curve to it.
And what is that tradition, or what is that skill sort of highlighting in terms of the tradition?
It was to practice balancing and just being fit over the winter months, because... Yeah. Long, cold winters, stuck indoors.
Yeah, the survival aspects, the harsh conditions, keeping yourself up when it's really cold outside. Okay, that's your favorite one?
Yes.
Okay, that's pretty awesome. And give me another one.
Another game that I really like is called the scissor broad jump. It's like similar to like triple jump, where you're trying to go for the furthest distance, except there's no run-up.
Okay, oh.
And then... One of the moves is you cross your foot behind the other foot as you jump forward.
Oh, if you mess that up, you could twist an ankle or something.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to explain. So you start off both feet. There's 4 different moves. So you start on both feet. There is no run up. So you're starting from standing. You jump to one foot. Then your foot crosses behind the other foot.
Yeah.
As you jump forward, then you land onto the first foot again, then you have to land on both feet after that. And it's supposed to replicate jumping from ice flow to ice flow. So, and at the end when you...
Oh, wow.
At the end when you land on your 2 feet, you have to balance and not touch the floor.
Yeah. You're doing a great job describing it, by the way. I'm totally picturing it in my head and how hard it is. That's what I know, is that it's very difficult. How long have you been doing the games?
Almost 10 years now.
10 years? When did you start?
Between second and third grade.
Whoa. Okay. That's a long time. That's pretty amazing. Okay, and one more event that you love.
Another event that I love is kneel jump, which is pretty tricky. You start on the floor on your knees.
Okay.
Usually without shoes or socks, you can grip the floor. Your feet have to be flat against the ground. They can't be, like, upright. And you try and jump as far forward as possible from that position.
Oh, wow. Okay, that's pretty tough, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's amazing. There are so many of these awesome games, and I love that you all have, like, the history involved as well. That's really cool. And so, Kyle, is this open to the public? How do people come and enjoy Mila and Leaf doing their thing?
Yeah, this is a free event, so come down to Juno Douglas High School next weekend. It starts Friday evening around 5:30, and then it's Saturday and Sunday from about 9 to 6. Cheer on the athletes, learn about the games. Our athletes are always open to sharing if you want to ask them questions like, what are you doing? You can learn more about it. And we'll have an art market as well, so you can come out and support some artists. We'll have Native Youth Council selling some items too. They're raising funds for their student club at JDHS. So lots of ways to support if you come downtown next weekend.
Awesome. Well, and I do want to show something that I have here. We'll just talk about it because I was wondering if they would say one of those, but they didn't. But there is one that you hold the record for, Kyle, in terms of it's called the knuckle hop or the seal hop. And so we're watching it on the live stream. But can you describe what the seal hop is? It looks painful.
Yeah. So the particular version that I do is the knuckle hop. You're doing it on a closed fist, and you're hopping in a plank position, and you're hopping on your hands and toes. And it's a one-attempt event, and you try to go as far as you can. And it mimics the motion of a seal hopping on ice. It is a traditional hunting technique that hunters would sneak up to seals laying out on the ice floe by mimicking their motion, and they would be dressed in seal skin. They'd have their harpoon on their back, and this was their way to approach the seal without scaring it off. And once they're in range, they'd jump up and harpoon that seal. But now we've turned it into a game of both physical strength and mental strength. And pain endurance, especially in the knuckle hop version where you end up with bloody knuckles at the end of the game.
Yeah, and this one, I think you set the traditional game's record for this, which is, I think, 163, is it 63 feet or something? Is that what it is?
It's about, 160-something feet. That's the Juno traditional games record. The world record is actually 207 feet, so I'm trying to work up to that one still.
Wow, that would be amazing. Yeah. That's awesome. Well, thank you so much, Gwyneth Cheesh, for coming in and telling us all about it. It's the Traditional Games. You can go to traditionalgames.cealaskaheritage.org, and that will be the page for all the information about next week. It's happening April 4th through the 6th over at Juno Douglas High School, Yadaakathle. As Kyle said, it starts Friday night and then all day on Saturday and Sunday. Kyle, Leif, Mila, thank you so much, Gwyneth Cheesh, for being here and telling us about it. And go do it or have fun. What was it? Get it.
You got it.
You got it. You get
Gwyneth
it.
Gwyneth Cheesh.
I love thank that. You. Thanks so much, Gwyneth Cheesh, for being here. Okay, up next, we will talk with the Juno Parks and Recreation. But first, let's have a star party.
Let's have a star party. This is Steve Kosas with the Marie Trek Planetarium. I'm going to talk about exoplanets. Planets that orbit a star other than our own sun are called exoplanets. And it appears now that every star that we look at has exoplanets around it. 1995 was when the first exoplanet was found, discovered. And now, 30 years later, there's more than 5,000 confirmed exoplanets, and there's more than 7,000 ones that are being considered for confirmation. They're discovered by both Earth-based telescopes and space telescopes, and there's three main ways that they're detected. The most common method is what's called the transit method, where when the exoplanet comes between its star and our field of view, the star's brightness is decreased and that can be detected. The other two methods are radial velocity. When a star has planets orbiting it, it actually causes slight wobbles in the star's motion and that can be detected in the spectrum of the star. And a third method is what's called gravitational lensing, which comes from Einstein's general theory of relativity. When a bright foreground star comes between our field of view and a distant star, it actually acts like an amplifier of the light, like a lens. That's gravitational lensing. And if there is a planet orbiting that background star, can then be detected. So the final goal is to find habitable worlds like our Earth, that are in the range from its star where liquid water and atmosphere are present. This is Steve Kosas with the Marie Drake Planetarium. Our public shows are on our website at mariedrakeplanetarium.org. Thank you.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com.
For KTOO, I'm Mike Lane. It is Friday, March 28th. Sunrise was at 6:35 this morning. Sunset will be at 7:31 for a total of 12 hours, 55 minutes, and 59 seconds of daylight today. A gain of 5 minutes and 6 seconds over yesterday. And taking a look back at this day in 1964, acting Juneau City Mayor Bud Boddy said the Juneau area and most of South Central Alaska escaped any major damage from the tremendous earthquake that struck South Central Alaska the prior evening. A Loken Air Charter float plane had flipped over as a result of tidal action along Gastineau Channel and was considered to be the most serious damage of the quake in Juneau. That's a look back at this day in 1964. This is KTOO.
And that's Mike Lane, who you can join every morning, our morning edition host, Monday through Friday, right here on KTOO. You are listening to Juneau Afternoon from Studio 2K at KTOO. Time for our monthly check-in with the CBJ Parks and Rec Department. And today we have lots of events happening, things going on, and I am joined by Sonny Mauricio. Did I say that right?
Yes, sir. Nice to meet you, Boston.
Awesome. Nice to meet you. And you are the new... You are new to CBJ Parks and Rec, or you have a new position. Tell me about your job at CBJ.
Yeah, so I've been here for about 2 months now. I'm the communications marketing coordinator. It was kind of a mix from the deputy director and the graphic designer roles. They just had a little bit too much on their plate, and so I took over some social media stuff. We're trying to do more video content and make sure we're just getting the word out for all the public for
yeah, we were just talking about it, that you now have an Instagram page, and you're over at CBJ Parks on Insta.
Yep. We're doing more reels. We're going to be promoting a lot of video stuff over there, you know, different demographic, and just make sure we're just trying to reach everybody across Juneau.
So. The reach, that's what it is, right? It's all about the reach, making sure everybody knows it. Okay, well, we have lots to talk about. Let's start with, tell me a little bit about Adopt a Flower.
Yeah, so Adopt a Flower started in 1984, and so it's 41 years now, and thanks to local donations that take place, we're able to plant and put flowers all around Juneau. I'm sure you see them every year starting in June. And that's an awesome program. You know, we believe that the flowers help inspire locals and sort of brighten up the town, and you know, so our landscape crew handles 60 flower barrels, 50 flower beds, and over 200 hanging baskets.
All right. All around town. That is amazing. I love seeing those every summer. They're beautiful. Yeah. How can people participate in that?
So you can actually go, and we've got our donations open right now. There's different donation levels, all the way starting at $25 up to $1,000. And last year, we were able to raise over $7,400, which goes a long way, because this is a year-long program, all the way from starting in February to seeding all of the plants and flowers to now they're starting to bloom. And then throughout even like the season, our landscape crew has to take care of them, like for days where it's like maybe not raining, because we want to make sure they get water going without water for too long. And then even in the wintertime, or when the fall hits, we use those for the soil. So
right. So the money that people, so you're adopting a flower, basically, that's the idea.
Yeah.
And so you're paying minimum 25. You can go up to 1,000 if you want, the different levels. And the money that's raised is used to keep the program going mostly?
Yeah, it funds all the work that goes into it and all the seeds. And taking care of the flowers, and so if you actually donate over $500, we're giving away 7 custom hanging baskets.
Oh wow!
So there's already 3 gone. So if you donate over $500, then you know, and that's a pretty big, flourishing custom basket there. So it's definitely worth it. And anyone who donates by April 30th will get their name on the Adopt a Flower sign that's right in the center of Marine Park Plaza.
That's nice. That's sweet.
Yeah, so you get a little recognition. It's a little bit of pride.
Yeah, you know, absolutely.
Supporting, beautifying the town.
Okay. All right, let's talk a couple about the events happening at Augustus Brown Pool.
Yeah, so tomorrow we got a free swim starting at 2:30, going to 4 p.m., and that's sponsored by Juneau Gas and the Rotary Club. And that's a, we got a lot of hype around that on Facebook right now. So it seems like it might get packed out. We got a max of 75 people that can be in there. So if you're interested in going, definitely get there early. That'll start at 2:30. No registration, just first come, first
serve. Just show up.
Yeah, just show up.
Tomorrow at the Augustus Brown Pool, sponsored by the Juneau Gastro Rotary Club, 2:30 p.m. I love it. And it's going to be a nice day this weekend probably, so you could like get in the pool and then get out, and you'll have some sun to dry off on, which would be kind of fun.
No, yeah, that's the way to do it right there.
All right. Let's talk about at the end of April, looks like you have a movie in the park.
Yeah, movie in the park, April 27th. That's definitely one of our more popular events.
And
we can only do them so often, but that'll be at Treadwell Arena on the ice.
Oh, on the ice?
Yeah.
Yes. Awesome.
So you can skate and watch. You can watch for free on the bleachers, or you can pay just the standard rate to skate.
Oh, that's cool.
And it's kind of a unique way to experience a movie. And that'll be The Wild Robot, the new one.
Oh, cool. Yeah. That's fun. That's a fun one to see on the ice. I like that.
Yeah.
And speaking of the ice, you have another event that's happening next weekend.
Yep. We have the where's it at here? Skate to Eliminate Cancer Celebration Ice Show. That's put on by the Scott Cares Foundation. You know, last year it was really popular. I think they had two shows.
Mm.
This year we have three. Friday, April 4th at 6 p.m., Saturday, April 5th, 3 p.m., and then Saturday, April 5th, 7 p.m. Last year, they were able to raise $35,000 for cancer research.
That's amazing. And that's Scott Hamilton, former Olympic gold medal winner. He'll be on the show next Friday, so we'll talk more about it then as well. But you can always find out more about all these events at the CBJ Parks and Rec website. Basically, you Google CBJ Parks and Rec, it'll take you to the website and you'll get there. But the one last thing I want to talk about before we have to go, Sonny, is that people need to start thinking about, it's almost summer. Like, this sun is helping us out, getting us ready, but we're coming up on the 6th annual Walk Southeast.
Yep. It's that's our probably our most popular event.
That's and amazing.
It goes all year or all season long, starting in May, going all the way to September. Last year, I think we had around 800 to 900 participants. We're hoping to get over 1,000 this year. And, you know, along the way, we do a lot of group hikes. We're going to be doing giveaways, challenges, virtual things. It's all virtual and completely free to enter. And the whole idea is you walk from Juneau to Ketchikan virtually, so that's 297 miles. And once you hit the 150-mile mark, then you get entered in to win two free round-trip tickets from Alaska Airlines.
Which community won last year?
Juneau.
Juneau won last year?
Yeah.
Awesome. That's amazing. Yeah, it's a really fun event. You have to register. It'll begin registration on April 15th. So it's coming up in a couple of weeks, and you'll want to learn all about it. It's really easy. No pressure. There's a little app you download.
Yep.
It's really fun. I did it last year. It was a lot of fun.
It even syncs with like a Fitbit or Apple Watch.
Yeah.
Super easy to use. Like, if you have an Apple Watch, you don't even have to go in the app. If you don't want, you could just start your thing.
It just does it?
It tracks you, and you could get all the way to September and have all your miles tracked.
That's amazing. That is really cool. Well, Sonny, it was great to meet you finally. I know we've been talking over the emails a little bit as you've gotten into this new role over there at CBJ. We'll be seeing you and hearing you more regularly here on the show, giving us the updates. It's Adopt a Flower. It's the CBJ. It's the free swim tomorrow. There's a movie coming up. And, of course, people start need to think about registering for the show, the Walk Southeast, which is coming up. And of course, you can find it all at CBJ Parks and Rec website using your favorite search engine. Thank you, Sonny, for coming in. Ganachish.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. That will do it for today's Juneau Afternoon. Juneau Afternoon airs Wednesday through Friday at 3 p.m. right here on KTO, Juneau 104.3 and KAUK, Juneau Auk Bay 91.7. Hello, out the road. I'm Boston Christopher, producer and host of the program, with help today from Aaron Tripp. Gunath Cheesh!